Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum.
I'm here. I hope you're here, and I hope you're all feeling well. I hope you're handling all these weather issues. Not coal, though, but it's just, you know, wind and different issues coming and going like some of it like never before. Yeah, that wind has been really coming and going around here, and it's been windy the last couple of days. Looks like tomorrow is going to be a better day, you know, but man, that wind is something else. Yeah, I was going to touch base about it. I was laughing about that Amber Heard. She pooped in Johnny Depp's bed. Can you imagine that? Just like a joke. Well, she just are really crazy. She's supposed to be a highly sophisticated, respectable celebrity, you know, way up there with all the manners and all that, but pooping in somebody's bed. Well, that's crazy. And then she tried to blame it on the dog, you know. Anyway, yeah, you know, we're going to talk about a few things tonight, you know. One thing that tripped me out was how the Lakota name, you know, is used all over. I didn't even know they had a school district called Lakota School District way over there in Ohio. I seen a town in Iowa. It had a water tower. It said Lakota. It was a town, but it was named Lakota because Lakotas used to live there, you know, and you know, in them days they named towns after something, but I don't know what the hell that school district is named their school district Lakota for. But anyway, looks like Vimber's here in the Tanashi. You there?
Yeah. I'm on the road right now, so I might be losing you guys. I might go in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going in and out. That ain't our business.
Yeah, I was trying to get home quick, but we're on the road.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
so
I thought I'd call in. Say a prayer for you guys. Now.
All right.
Get
go
guys,
ahead, oh, man.
All right. All right. I'm going to go to the hospital. Everyone knows you can control it. We're going to talk about it. That's the majority of our statistics. How many doctors have you connected to the wing over there? The other one, what can I get in there? What kind of doctor? Chose on your being checked. After extension, me talk to you, you know, you're not a best type. Correct. I'm a pretty good boy. I'm a pretty good boy. Hope you like some guys. She's Japanese. I'm a me talk to you. Oh, Tony, those are me. Meet you up with them. Push you keep up with us. Me talk to you. I'll see. Now,
I'll stay. So you're going home or?
Yeah, we're headed home. But
you're out for the night?
Yeah, probably. I tried calling in, but it dropped out again. So I called in again. And
oh. Oh, all
I
right.
Know, I might be losing
yeah.
you guys. Here.
No.
But anyway, I got you that far. Look, okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, stay. And not to thank him for the prayer, you know. And yeah, it's strange what goes on out there in the world, you know, all the time. The thing, you know, like living on the Indian reservation, you know, our world seems, you know, a lot of these Indians never really go no place, never been off. So their world is pretty big. This is all they know, you know. I was looking at how, like in California, Friday, Saturday nights, the weekends, all these people with nice customized cars drive down Hawthorne Boulevard, Whittier Boulevard, you know, they just drive up and down honking, showing off their nice rides. And even in Denver down, I'm having a brain lock on that. big street down there in Denver, but, you know, and then I passed through our little town over here. So little beat up res bombs. You know, last night was Friday. Cruised back from Rosebud, you know, and Cruisy Town, and there's some Indians, you know, beat up cars, duct taped all over, and, you know, but sitting out there, hanging out, you know what I mean? I said, look at our youth out here, you know, and then they're walking down this town. I mean, it might have 300 or 400 population, you know what I mean? But in the nighttime, it's like zombies, man. They start coming out. I don't care how bad the weather is. They got to go to the store here. They got a store in town, real expensive, you know, but they got to go get their snacks. And then they have their cars and they cruise around up and down. Maybe they're hustling money. Then if they get enough gas money, they'll shoot to Kilgore and get a jug and come back, you know. World is real simple here. But, Tanashi, can you still hear us?
Yeah, I can still hear you guys.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, real quick before you lose reception. Did you hear about that school district called Lakota School District in Ohio?
Yeah, I heard about that. But
yeah. And
you know
their motto is, "We are Lakota."
Yeah.
You know,
it's crazy. And, you know, it's crazy how all of this stuff, you know, we should protect ourselves from, but yet, it's funny how two Washitos own our language, you know, where you can't publish anything in Lakota books and stuff unless you get their okay, because they have a patent on our language. See, how does that work? I could never figure. Then you have these people like you said, their motto, "We are Lakota," you know. What are we then, you know? That's a bunch of Washitos, you know. They have no respect. Then they say, a Lakota used to live here. So what does that mean, you know?
I don't know. Like, there's a town called Lakota, Iowa. But that used to be a Lakota encampment years ago, back in the day. And the Washitu to describe it, they called it Lakota, you know, and then when the Washitu started moving in there, they just kept that name. But this one in Ohio was made up some other kind of way, you know. And maybe there's a lot more of that we don't know about, or I never heard about, or nothing. That's probably, they probably got one down in Mississippi or something, you know. No telling where they got this stuff going, but my issue with that is our tribe, our people, as well as all Native Indigenous tribes, are sacred people. Their names are these names are sacred, along with the languages and everything. And we don't have no protection. You know, anybody could come up and start say, we're Lakota, you know, or, you know, and, you know, like you said, even owning the language, you know.
You know, and that's what I'm getting at is all these Washitus, you know, here we are, they discriminate like hell against the native people, all Lakotas in the United States. But yet, they do things like this, saying they honor us. You know, and then what does our tribe do? Our tribes, they don't even protect us, see? Because they're under the thumb of the BIA. All the consuls throughout the United States are under the BIA. And then they say, the executive order, see? But yet the Navajos and the Sioux were the only ones that had that election. everybody else was told to go under it. Then we have these people sitting, so-called leaders, that don't protect us, see? And when you try to say something about it and you make a big old deal about it, then the tribal council sides with the Washitans to go against you, see? Because they want the money. You know, and that's what's happening more and more today, like we talked about our medicine men. Look at all these people that claim to be medicine men. There was just another one the other day, a Washichu dude, that claimed that he was a shaman, a Lakota medicine man, a pure Washichu. And Rick posted something about that, you know. But this is what's going on outside. And the tribal council only talks about it. They talked about this not too long ago, where they said they have to protect our way of life. But yet, a lot of these guys' kids that are playing Wakun are sitting on the council. So they made a big old stink about it, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. There's no protections for us. We are the most discriminated against people in the world, I should say. That's why I say, look at how poor we are. We're the most land-rich people in the world, but we are the poorest. See, how does that happen? And like you were saying, how many other towns or places is named Lakota, and they use that name like they own it, see? And they don't know nothing about us. They don't even know who we are, because we're a sacred people. They think that they could keep taking advantage of us. And the Washitus recognize them as the Lakota, not us. See? And more and more it comes out, like you were saying, there's probably a bunch of places called, you know, something, probably Rosebud or, you know, Rosebud Sioux or, you know, Oglala Lakota, all these names. Those have meaning to us. They mean nothing to the Washitu. To me, they're a disgrace. The Washitu, calling themselves Christians, have no effing respect for us at all. But yet, the leaders that we have sitting in these places that have the authority to do something about it won't do a damn thing, because they fear the money is going to be taken away from them if they say something. That's all it boils down to, is money. Money is more important to these leaders than who we are. Why don't they make a big old stink about that, about what their motto, all of that stuff, see? Question those people. Why did this happen? Who are you to claim this, see? Change this name because of the way you treat Native Americans and the way you treat us. State of South Dakota is the Mississippi of the Midwest. That's been proven time and time again. But yet, these Washitus sure like to use our names to think they're Indian, they're Native American. And they know nothing about us. But that's society today. And then you have a bunch of these guys selling out. Oh, yeah, you know, look at old Jason Horse up here in California. He's like that Jeffs or Jeffries or whatever his name that went to prison in Texas, you know. And these guys are more than glad to send their kids down to him because he's going to re-educate them, you know. And now there's all kinds of people coming out saying that he did this, he did that, he fathered all kinds of children. And he can't go back to South Dakota because he's got child support over there. Got kicked out of Montana, you know. It's a shame what these guys are doing using the Lakota name. What happened to that protect council talked about? To me, they make a mockery of us, but yet our leadership stands there and twiddles their thumb and do nothing about it. So it just goes on and on and on. There is no protection for us. Honestly, that's the part that I don't like. And it's individuals like me and you that speak up for it. And we make a big old stink about it, you know?
And when the Washington, you know, find the truth out, they back down quick.
You know why that stuff can keep going is because they're using the name Lakota, and there's Indian tribes all over. It has nothing to do with them, so why should they worry about it? Just like AIM, they're fighting about the mascots, Redskins, Chiefs, and all this stuff. But using the name Lakota is just as bad as, you know, all of that. But nobody's gonna stand up and fight for us because, like I heard some Tokas before when we were talking about the Black Hills. They say, you know, the Black Hills ain't ours, so why do we worry about it? That's your guys' issue. You know?
Yeah.
And that's why the Washitu, you know, they divided us, split us up, made us feel that way about each other. So when one tribe has a problem, the other tribe say, well, that ain't our issue. Just like they're having little tribes on the West Coast and all that. They don't have no support and backup, and their tribal governments are even throwing people out of their tribe, you know? The indigenous society, when it comes down to stuff like that, they don't support each other, you know? And so in that case, you know, that school board, for instance, using the name Lakota, you know, there's a lot of tribes around there, but yet they don't realize this all affects them. It affects everybody. It's not just the fact that they used the name. The thing is, that school had an issue over teaching porn in the school, you know? It had some kind of a moral issue involved in their school district. And well, that's what caught my attention. I said, what the hell is this? And that's how I ran across it. So you see.
Yeah, I didn't really get to go over that article to find out exactly what all was going on with that. But here's the sad thing is, you know, there are Lakota here, and there's supposedly, well, I know you know who Guy is, being cousins to Avril Looking Horse. I don't know if he's even talked to them, but the fact of the matter is, even the Lakota here don't speak up and say anything. It's not been my experience to see them say anything about it. And you know, being born and raised here in Ohio, I never even knew. Look, I know there's like 80 some, or there used to be 80 some odd school districts that used mascots and logos. But I didn't realize that this one was there. And it's like what the Shawnee said, what Chief Ben Barnes said when I told him about this Steve McCullough, the fake Sundance chief here, and he goes, well, that really has nothing to do with us. You know, that's a Lakota thing, and they have to take care of this situation. Well, wait a minute. This is supposedly your homelands. This, and even Avril Looking Horse said, no ceremonies, certain ceremonies are not to be over on the east side of the Mississippi. And,
well,
nope, but get no support from him. And now we're seeing, this Ohio history, the connection. They have a museum down there in Columbus, and I saw on Facebook they posted, you know, what their new display is, and here there's Adina pipes there, effigy pipes, that I found out they were told that they had to take them out of the display because UNESCO said that those considered those grave items, that those that come from somebody's grave. And I'm like, you know, and Shawnee are working with them. So it's a, and then I'm finding out more and more history, you know, wow. And even where it pertains to my nation and the Shawnee, because the Shawnee aren't original to Ohio. And in all actuality, the Shawnee were driven out of Mexico by the Aztec, and they came up through the Gulf into Florida, and then the Seminole kicked them out. And this is where they came, ended up, and the Miami gave them land there. So, this whole thing about them reclaiming Serpent Mound, they never had a claim to it to begin with.
But you see, Philip, we really don't know all of that. The thing is, you brought up a good point when he was talking about, hate to say name, but Guy Jones, you know. He lives right there, you know. He's Lakota and brags about it, boasts about it. And I know there's Lakotas all over. There's more of them, I assume, in Ohio, Indiana, et cetera, around the area. But when you start losing your culture, these things don't bother you no more. It don't bother you if someone's abusing your tribal name or your family name or your culture or your Chanupa or your way of life. It don't bother you no more. The only thing those guys live with, you know. See, my brother and Vimber, they live off the res too. And now Jennifer, she's online too. She lives off the res. But they have deep roots and lived on the res and are from the res. You know, it's a different thing than when people go away and they actually lose or assimilate, whatever you want to call it. They stop caring about their own identity because they're trying to fit in with the identities out there. And if they use the name Lakota, they're using it to try to get, privilege out of it. Oh, yeah, I'm Lakota, so I come from Crazy Horse bloodline. I'm related to Arvo, you know. You know what? Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that because, you know, a lot of times we call each other Tahashi or relative and all that because we are related. You know, Lakotas are all related. So as far as that goes, me and Vimber are related to Arvo, you know. We can go tell everybody that. That's how it is. But pure bloodline, you know, that has to be proved. And a lot of people go around in the world out there. They leave the res. There's Lakotas all over, and then they come and they say, yeah, I'm Crazy Horse and my grandpa. Sitting Bull is my grandpa. And they throw our name. They throw our, you know. And a lot of times that ain't the case. We are all connected, and we're all related. But yet, some people use that to get perks or whatever in someplace else. And they do get perks for it. They get high respect. Yeah, I'm Crazy Horse's grandson. Right away, everybody's going to bow down to you because they don't know if it's true or not, you know. And I tell you what, we got to be careful about that. And like this school, it must have been. I really didn't look into the history of it. I should have. But a lot of times I say, man, you know, so some things are so far gone. The cut is so deep. the wound is so deep, there's no cure for it. You know, what do we do? You know, me and Vimber, five or six of us go down there and tell them, change the name, or blah, 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 you know, or do, they'll just slap us out of town. You know, they call the cops on us. You know, we have no way to do this. But it happens, and it happened. And if other tribes don't protect us, then they're not protecting themselves. And this is an example of the American Indian movement. You know, the American Indian movement is supposed to be our resource and boots on the ground to defend our people against that kind of stuff. But how do you get people from AIM in these modern times to even participate or even mention that or even get involved in that? You know, because look at these AIM chapters all got squabbles with each other. You know, you look at them and you look at this guy over here, this guy, and they all got squabbles with each other. And they're all fighting each other. And they're all trying to act like a chief because none of them was ever raised this way. Most of the modern people in the American Indian movement, these modern times, just decided to become AIM because they lost their identity. And they joined AIM and right away start wearing feathers and ribbon dresses and patches and all this stuff, you know. Maybe grow a little ponytail or something, you know. But they didn't live their life that way. They don't know nothing about the true pride, the true indigenous native pride that a person raised this way has, you know. So,
you know, hey,
that's why.
Tranchi, this, like,
yeah,
like what you're talking about here. See, like, if we were to try to do something like that, use some other tribe's name and say in one of our districts or something, what would those other tribes do? They'll make a big old stink about it. See? But yet, when it's done to us, they say, oh, it's their fight. You know, if you was to take Harley Davidson's name and apply it, you know how much shit that town or that county or anything will get into just for that name? See, it's a Washichu thing. These Washichus have no respect, but yet they respect their own people, their own, and then they call it a patent, see? And that's what that's this thing. We are the Lakotas, but these Washichus feel empowered to take it and use it. How much money have they hustled using that name? And how does it benefit us? And they're the liars. We're not. See, what kind of respect does that show us? If we tried to do that to any one of these names, like say Honda, we name a street Honda back. You know how much money Honda would have us pay for that? See, this is the type of thinking the Washichu have. But yet, when it comes to us, our names, our nation, they don't give a shit about it. They just throw it out there and they hustle off of it. And then they claim this, they claim, like you were saying, they claim they're related to this guy, so it's okay to do this. They're related to that guy, so it's, you know. But yet, the name itself, Lakota, that's us, see? It's a nation. And who are these guys using it?
Corporations have gotten away with it for so long. I mean, really, does it,
yeah.
Did Cherokee go after Jeep? They didn't go after Chrysler for the name. And now you got, look at all the other names out there. You have the Denali. I think that's a GM, GMC.
They have a trucking company called Navajo.
Oh,
the blue-eyed Indian.
I guess it's like a dump truck service, the Chieftain, and they got a big Indian chief head on the side of the vehicle. Or even like Minnehaha. They got a native woman on the side of them.
But, you know, like the Navajo is a big, giant nation compared to Lakota. A big, giant nation.
Yeah.
But they work with the Navajo works with the government left and right. You know, they're the biggest supporters of the American veteran, you know, of the American flag. You know, them Navajos, you know, are pretty much, you know. But that's why a lot of their people don't have water, because the government says, oh, we got them. That's why that Navajo trucking company got away with having that name, because it's been owned by several companies. And one of them supposedly had a friend or some kind of connection to a Navajo guy, and that's how it started, you know. And then it turned so big, the founding people of the Navajo truck lines don't even own it no more. It's a new thing. But you see, this stuff like that, there should be no trucking company called Navajo. There should be no school district way over in Ohio called Lakota. There should be, it's like Vimber said, you know, if we were to name one of our schools Harley Davidson, man, they'll come down with attorneys and everything. If we were to name our school Trump, we'd have a big lawsuit. They'd come down at us with lawsuits the minute we did something. But our tribes are powerful enough that they could do something about it, but they don't enforce themselves because they turn to American. You know, each tribe has a tribal attorney. And his job is to protect our tribe, our name, our existence in all legal matters. But they don't care. He just kicks back and got a job and might go to a treaty meeting once in a while or go to a workshop or go talk in Washington. But these tribal attorneys don't never be in court. You never see them in court. You only see them running around spending money. You know,
and you know, where's the Apache yelling and screaming about the United States government using their name for a war machine?
Apache helicopter. Right. Right. Exactly.
There's a Comanche too.
And then
there's a Comanche also.
And because you see how our people are, we're so sick mentally, and they, what do they call that? That syndrome, that Stockholm syndrome, where we're in love with our captors. So
yeah,
that's why they came down and wanted to name a helicopter Lakota. And our vets and our tribe went over there. Oh, what a big honor. Yes, of course you can use our name. But did they ask the people? Did our people get any voice in that? Hell no. And same way with Apache. You know, like Geronimo would have never liked that. He'd be rolling over in his grave for that. You know, Crazy Horse. But they always throw their names around, Crazy Horse, Geronimo, and all that. But look it, they're so stuck with that Stockholm syndrome. And like Vimber said, me and Vimber, people like me, Vimber, you, and a few of us, we're troublemakers. And actually, if they could, they'd throw some smut on us to get us out the picture. or figure out a way to take something from us or ruin us, you know? That's what they do, you know? One guy burned a flag down in Pine Ridge, and there everybody turned on his ass. The whole tribe, everybody, you know?
They put him on the shit list, even up to this day, you know? And he only did what he knew was right, see? And yet, they made, I mean, the tribe, everybody made a big old stink about that American flag, him burning it. And yet, American burn us every day by stealing our land and not compensating or treating us fairly in any way, see? But yet, a rag, a thing, something that you could wipe your ass with, they go bonkers over it, you know? They blacklisted. He still can't even get a job in the tribal council because of that. See, that's how much hatred they carry for this one guy that burnt an American flag, and his uncle was June Little, who was one of the Amesters. See, but he was a Vietnam vet, but he hated America. See, and he used to say that you know. They lied to him, and they forced him to go to a war that he didn't believe in. And that's what these guys, a lot of these guys that come back with discharges, a lot of them went AWOL because they didn't want to go fight in that war, see? Because they didn't believe in it. But yet the government forced them. They called it the draft. That's the same thing like they did the American Indians, forcing them into these schools. Your parents go to jail or you go to school, see? They brainwashed us so bad. That now look at all the shit that they defend the oppressor, you know, and that, you know, look at Geronimo. Geronimo was a prisoner of war, but yet they want to name a helicopter after him, some gun that kills 50,000 people a second, and they want to name it after him.
Yeah,
you know, it's crazy how these Washichus. Just kind of like these guys doing it right now, this Lakota. How much money did they hustle using that name for that school district, that county, or whatever it was? They used us. Literally, they used us to benefit. They used our name for their benefit. And they probably got oohs and oohs of dollars because, they're Lakota, they're this, you know, indigenous, all this other bullshit, you know? But yet it's a bunch of Packerwoods running around claiming, see? And they have no idea of what a Lakota really is or what he stands for or what was done to them.
Toshi, look at what happened to Russell Means. When he tried to run for tribal president, the excuse they had was he's an ex-felon. And why was he an ex-felon? He was ex-felon because he went to prison. He got convicted for the Custer riot.
Yeah,
you know, fighting for the people, fighting for Lakota. But they turned it around and told smut on him. So Russell Means, you know, always got smut wherever he went, wherever, you know. And one of my bros went to a casino down in Mississippi, and right away they said, you know, we don't like Lakotas down here because Russell Means came down here and started trouble, you know, and they right away, you know. He didn't start trouble. He went down there to defend some Indians, and they call it starting trouble, you know. So that's why we're always on the bad end here. And that's why we're, you know, and there's nothing we can do about it except right now, hopefully bring some awareness to people. Because a lot of times, like Philip said, he didn't even know about that. And I never knew about that either. If I didn't happen to look on Yahoo News and see the Lakota involved in porn at school, I tuned into it, and there was a bunch of Washichu. And I said, damn, what is this? And I looked in here, the deeper I got, it said Cincinnati, Ohio. I said, wow. So I dug in a little further. Their whole, I seen what it was. And I, that's why I said, man, you know, this is crazy. But they've been having that school district for years and years and years. You know, how? Yeah, go ahead.
And I'm surprised too. You know, and I haven't heard from Lance, but you know, Lance is across the river there from Cincinnati. He's right there in Kentucky, and you know, he's always coming up here into Ohio instead of taking care of stuff there in Kentucky and Indiana, and he never said anything about this either, and he's always hanging around Guy Jones. So I mean, you know, we can't, our chapter can't do anything unless we know about it. And
well,
you know, if Guy was going to do an action, you know, I'd be there to support him on it, to back him up.
Well,
but nobody ever said anything about what's going on down in Southern Ohio, except for these people, you know, with this, that music festival from last week. And, you know, and then that woman that I sent you the picture of that was part of it, the Anishinaabe from up in Canada, telling Lance that they need his AIM leadership down there in Ohio for the longest walk. Now, we were already told not to support that because there's no accounting of where the money is. There's no accountability of where the money's going. So I'm just doing what we were told to do years ago. You know, I'm not involved in it. They would rather go and do this walk instead of actually standing there in front of a school district and fighting.
Well, yeah. See, Philip, that's why we don't even need to discuss that kind of stuff. What I think here, you know, of anything, you know, is the thing that, like me, I wasn't aware of it. You weren't aware of it. Maybe Lance ain't aware of it. A lot of people ain't aware of it. But maybe they should become aware of it. And if they live close to there, you know, why don't they just give them a call and ask, what is the history on this? And kind of get some education on what the hell's going on, you know? Because I don't live down there. I think that, you know, to help out the cause, like anything else, it wouldn't hurt, you know, because I'm gonna call up and find out myself. I'm gonna see what they say, but you know, if I go in and say something right away, they're gonna, you know, hang up on me, you know. But I just hope that, but I'm not going to force nobody, Philip. I'm not going to force no Indian. I'm not going to force nobody from the American Indian Movement, because it ain't our job to force people to do nothing. These people, the American Indian Movement, other indigenous nations, it should be automatic that they automatically want to participate or want to help out an issue. You see what I'm saying? It's just like, it's just like they were telling you one time, you know, like about they weren't invited. Remember for your thing? Other AIM guys, AIM people said, well, we weren't invited. You know, sounded like white people or Washita, you know. We weren't invited. You don't need to be invited. You know, this issue pertains to your people, our people, indigenous people. We don't need to invite you. We don't need to assign you. See, that's the thing I got into it with down there with Gray, with what's his name? down there in California, Walter Reese and all that crew, you know, they assigned people. Oh, we're going to assign somebody to this. Hell with all that. You know, we don't need to assign nobody. Somebody should take it up on themselves and do the right thing, you know? And that's what I'm saying. Our people need to do the right thing. We don't need to tell nobody what to do. If somebody sees it, they should automatically either defend it or turn their back on it. You know, like I look at this post I put on there regarding this, and I don't care. There's only 11 likes on there, you know. There's a few Lakota, that's it. But I know everybody sees it, because if I talk about apple pie or something, I'm going to get 100 hits, you know. If I talk about, one time I made up a drink, avocado mixed with this and that, you know, just made up a drink, and there are all kinds of people put likes. Yeah, that sounds great. Shit, I just made up a stupid drink just to see what people, you know, what people would do. Yeah, that sounds delicious, you know. I said, you know, I put avocado and pepper and apple juice and banana and strawberries. I just made up, you know, and they all, I got a whole bunch of likes and comments. You know, they always talk about love. I got I put a love song on the on Facebook and didn't get one like on it. I mean, even on YouTube, hardly nobody puts a like or a thumbs up on it, you know? But they all talk about love. They all talk about peace. But it's got to be popular. If I put down, I hate Russia, well, I'm going to get 1,000 likes. If I put a Ukrainian flag, they're all going to come. If I start flying the American flag, they're all going to come. You know, because they're all turncoats out there. They're all traitors. That's why Facebook people, a lot of them, I don't even give a crap about them. I don't even care about a lot of people, because they have to show me that they're more deeper than what they are. You know, if they're my friend, I see it. If they're not, you know, that's why I don't take donations for this radio show. Because if I take a donation from somebody, right away they want to tell me what to do. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's how it is. So regarding this issue, I will say this. We're talking about it. People hear it. I put a post up, you know, and I got so-called 2,000 friends on Facebook. If it don't bother them, there's a whole bunch of Lakota on the Facebook. I don't see none of them over there. It don't matter to me. But what matters is who's really out there, and who really is about the people and for the people. You know, who's really out there.
You know, Tushy, that goes back to what we was talking about. See, the people that could do something about it and should do something about it sit on the sidelines and collect money, like you was just talking about. The money dictates to them what happens. See, and that's what it is. There's all these Washitu people mocking us, making a mockery of us, but yet you have our leadership getting pockets lined by some Washitu, so they don't want. Then they say, "Oh, you rock the boat." Whenever you say something about it, see, that to me, that doesn't even make sense. And if these people over there are serious about Native Americans, they should defend that. They should speak up, because they're there. They're seeing it happen. You know, and that's what I was talking about. American Indian movement was about that, but now it's in the pockets of a lot of these donors that you're talking about, see? But and that's the difference between
the old American Indian movement and the new American Indian movement. See, there, to me, American Indian movement is moving toward the money. Like he was talking about Russell, see? All these people sold him out. See, in that election that he had, he was the only guy that ran three times, won twice, but never served a day as president of the Gullah Sioux tribe. And he won twice. But yet, they used all kinds of excuses. And the minute Yellowbird got one vote ahead of him, oh, he's the president. He's your next president, see? That's how
yeah.
these guys do that, see? And,
yeah.
And every election that Russell was involved in was illegal. Why? Yet you have people like Dick Wilson sitting there, the biggest bootlegger on the reservation, and yet he was president for how many years? See? And then you have
yep.
Steele, whose people are selling drugs in Anderson, but yet what are they doing about that, see? Nothing.
He was
see,
in seven
it all, it's
different
all about the
times.
Money.
John Steele
yeah,
was president, what, seven different times for two-year
yep.
terms apiece, you know? I mean, his town is the most Ushika town on the res, you know, murdering people and stuff, you know.
Yeah, what did they say? Manderson is the drug capital of Pine Ridge Reservation. You know, that's the kind of name he created when he was in a president's position, and it still holds out to this day. And those people were some real, you know, real prominent people at one time because of the Wild Ogallalas that they went and joined. See, that's the kind of name he made for those people there. See? And that's what I mean.
Wow.
By it's all about the money anymore. You know, they just as long as somebody gets a little bit of money, they'll sell out in a flash. You know. And like this Cobell settlement that came, all these tribes that accepted Cobell, their tribal councils didn't have nothing to do with the land when it was the monies were being stolen. They came after the fact, but yet they were put in charge. And they loved it because they ripped off a bunch of people. But yet what does anybody do? Not a damn thing, see? And that's how it operates. The people that could make a difference don't make a difference because they get money.
Mazaska, you know.
Yeah, and then when me and you say something about it, we're no good. We're troublemakers. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, it just goes on, you know. And yet we're telling the truth, and they can't handle it, so they throw smut on us. You know what I mean? And then
a lot of people don't
know what it's about, but they hate on us.
Our people lost it in the last 20, 30 years. You know, it's like I offer to record some drum groups free of charge. You know, I have a system to do this. You know, I have a recording
yeah.
system, and I can do this stuff. And you know what they told me? How much are you going to pay us?
Yeah, that's, you know,
I'm offering them an opportunity where they will pay up to $3,000 to a Washichu to record them
yeah.
with what I have, and they ask me how much I'm going to pay them. It's like one time I needed a jump at the store, and I asked the guy for jumper cables, and he said, how much you got? Back
God
in the
damn.
Day. When people
yep.
ask me
yep.
for a jump, I just go do it. If they need something,
yep.
I help
yep.
them out. I don't think nothing of it. You know,
yep.
but
yep.
it's like that. You know, I fix tires for free. I even pulled some trailer houses for free. You know?
Yep. Yeah.
But people aren't like that no more. Our people. And if we were
yeah.
to ask somebody to go over there to Ohio to support this issue, they'd say, you're going to give us gas money? How about motels? You know?
Yep.
You know, and that's how it is. And I know it's expensive to do stuff. I know that. So I'm not asking nobody nothing. But it
yeah.
don't cost
yeah.
nothing to inquire. It don't cost nothing to support something and, you know, bring some awareness about something. It don't cost nothing. But when you just ignore it, it tells me who our people really are. And our people don't have no identity no more. Our people don't have no more balls, I should say. You know, they're not warriors no more. There's no warriors out there no more. They're only a warrior if they do something in their backyard and they get, you know, they're not ashamed to ask for money and donations. I see that on Facebook. One person who never was an Indian suddenly went and had a GoFundMe and got a bunch of money for her roofing because she's an AIM now and somebody, you know. I would never do that.
Yep.
I don't use any status of mine to go out and get money and raise money. You know?
You know, country,
I guess you
country,
could say I'm a bad businessman.
Yeah, well, country, those are what you call Facebook warriors, you know? And just like my grandfather used to say, Chesli Ota and Asampi Wani, he used to say, when you went to Pine Ridge and came back. A lot of shit, but no milk, you know? Yeah, and that's what it is nowadays, you know? But, you know, you look at, like, say, for instance, me and you, you know, if when we go do something, we always end up being the bad guy. Why is that, you know? They don't have that Lakota mind anymore, you know? That's gone.
You know? When I went to Standing Rock, there's a whole bunch of people at Sundance and people over here. So I thought somebody would come with me, help me drive, you know, just go hang out and go up there. And there nobody wanted to go. They all, one said they're Kusha, one was this, one was that, you know. So I went up there by myself. I didn't care, you know. But you see, that's how it is. But after Standard Rock's over, Standard Rock, you know, and on their Facebook and all that, you know.
You know, me myself, I was going up there, and I stopped, and, you know, my brother had a ceremony, so went in there. And they told me that, why are you going up there? So I told them, you know, it's, you know, water's life, all this other stuff. And they said, you know, it's a lost cause. Because money changed hands 4 years ago, they said. So they said, people are wasting their time. They're just going to get people hurt. And that's what happened. Look at the guy that, Archambault, went in front of the United Nations. What did he do? Put on a wapkaha and did all these things and talked all. But yet he came back and kicked all those people out of there, you know.
Yeah.
And, man, so the money came after the fact, but he joined the money instead of keeping it real with the people. See? That's the kind of people that are out there. It was all done for show. Ikpazo. You know, that's what it was. So, you know, kind of blew the wind out of my sails because I thought it was going to be a good thing, you know? And I mean, and then now you look at all these guys playing that up everywhere you go. Water protector, you know? It's just, I mean, you know, and some of these guys, they were there, but they were living in hotels, you know.
Yeah.
What happened to roughing it? What happened to being there, you know?
Yeah.
But that's how it is today. Muzoska.
Yeah, I seen, you know, them at, I seen a whole bunch of people. That motel up there in Standing Rock made a bunch of money, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's Indians running all over that place, you know. And
shit, everywhere you went,
know,
every crack and cranny was Indian.
Even the casino,
you know?
Even the casino, you know. They made big money off of that protest, you know. And you know, as quiet as it's kept all them towns over there, even them Washichu towns made money off of it, you know? And
Bismarck is not there now, man.
The thing about it is we're, our people are losing it more and more and more, you know? I mean, I hate to say this, but a lot of people that, you know, that do support anything that we do are, you know, like even propane or even moving trailer house or something. I get money from other ethnic groups, Washichu, you know, I never got no help, you know, mostly Washichu and that's what trips me out, you know. When I used to raise money for Keeley Radio, when I used to go up to Rapid City, I'd try to get the Chinese restaurants to sponsor the radio. They wouldn't do it. I'd try to get black business. You know?
Yeah.
I remember I went to Custer. One white guy at a donut shop in Custer, I asked him to sponsor Keeley, and he said, he looked around and then he said, "Hey, can I talk to you privately?" I went in the room. He said, "You know, I'll sponsor you, but I don't want you to give me no name, and I can't give you money." He said, "But I'll do something for you, you know." So after that, every Friday morning, we got donuts delivered to the radio station, but he didn't want us to tell who donated it, you know.
That's cool.
He told him to keep his name out of it. But you see, he was a white guy, but he didn't want nobody to know he supported us. You see?
So
we got donuts every morning up there, Friday mornings at the radio station. Even people knew it was donut day. They'd be showing up there, you know. And you know, because he brought us boxes of donuts, you know. And at first we said, let's be careful. They might be poison, you know. You know, but hell, I said, I'll test them. I didn't care.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
I'll be the
guinea pig.
but you see, that's what I'm saying. To get our own people to do stuff, they won't do it. But there's people that will do it, and they're not Indian, you know?
Yep.
And these people that I'm talking about, they don't get offended by what me and you or Philip talk about on this radio show. A lot of them tune into us. Matter of fact, John Davis was on earlier, or he might still be on, you know? Out of the East Coast. And, you know, he been down to rest. Yeah. He went to my son's wake, you know?
Yeah.
I know people like that. You know, and I don't ask for help from nobody. I don't ask for help, but there's people that know what's going on, and they support stuff. They support things, you know. But our people, hell, they ain't gonna help out nothing, you know.
Yeah,
our people lost it. That's why this school district, what we're talking about here. You know, there are, like I said, 10 or 11 people put a like on it and a few people put comment. And that's good enough for me. You know, I mean, at least they see it and they hear it. I'm not asking them to really like it. I'm not asking them for nothing.
Yeah.
But my point is, you know, where's all the support? Where's all these people that fight against mascots and all this stuff? What's against our people? That school named Lakota is against our people, you know? And I shouldn't have to say no more. You know, we shouldn't have to say no more. you know?
Yeah, and, that's, you know, and that's what I'm saying. They discriminate like a son of a against us, and yet they feel all proud because of the name, you know? And yet,
yeah.
what are they doing for us? We're the most Mushika people on earth, but yet here they are all standing proud, using our name. You know, where's our leaders in all of this? See, they're the ones that's supposed to be defending us. If me and you went over there and said some shit, that whole county would be against us and our tribal council would be gone, you know? Nobody would be defending me and you. That's the problem with today. See, if we were like I was telling you, if we tried to put Harley Davidson sign up on our reservation, you know how much shit would come down on us because of that one name. See, but yet, when they use Lakota, or Rosebud, Shan River, all these people that are Lakota, nobody does a damn thing. They're so damn afraid of the white man. You know, that's the problem. And then yet they go after mascots, Redskin, you know. That's, I mean, man, you know, what's this world coming to, you know? No, that's all these people, all these guys that are going against these teams and stuff. I guess there's no payday for them at the end of the Lakota name or something, you know? And the Indians around that area should say something about it, saying it's disrespectful or something to use a tribe because they're a tribe. And that's the thing. That's, you know, like you were saying, the Navajo, they're big old sellouts anyway, you know, and still, you know.
Hey, they won't say nothing about Washichu using them for a truck line, but they'll sure sue us, sue us for saying it on the radio.
You watch. They're going to come after me and you for saying it, you know? But it's true. I mean, why don't they defend what's real? See? And that name is real.
You know,
Lakota name is real. The truck running, trucks running around with their names all over. Nobody says, you know?
You know,
if you say something,
I mean,
I
hate to use this phrase, so forgive me, everybody. But it's like bending over and letting somebody go in you, and you don't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Hurry up
and when
get
I see that Navajo truck driving down the road, I say, yep, look what they did. Look, they're still doing it.
Yep.
You know? Same way with all this. When I hear them talk about Lakota, this and that, I realize that it ain't us that's bending over. It's those American Lakota, those American supporters, you know. They're the ones doing the bending over. It ain't us. It damn sure ain't me and you. It ain't us.
Yep.
Because we don't like what we see, and we're pointing it out. But, you know, they're against us for that, you know. That's why they will go on a radio show, you know. All I see people, they'll jump on a white man's radio show and really talk sophisticated, use big fancy words and all that, you know.
Yeah.
But when if you ask one of them to come on this radio show, man, I ain't going on there. Yeah, you know. They're in a professional there, blah, 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 you know. You know what I mean? They don't want to come around here, you know, because they don't fit in over here. They fit in over there, you know. Who fits in over here, you know, and who fits in over there? It shows there's not that many people fit in over here because they rather be over there with the American side, you know?
Yep.
Supporting police, voting for the president, you know, honoring the Pope, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? But nobody's going to come over here because We're the bad guys. We're the lowlifes. But but we ain't let nobody bend us over. That's the whole thing.
Yep.
You know? We ain't going to be part of that group. You know?
We got questions that need to be answered, you know?
Until
they answer them, we'll keep it up.
Yep. And
that's why I say all these people out there claiming this and claiming that, you know, you see these guys claim Indian every day. But yet when it comes to Indian issues and defending the Indian, nobody steps up, see? But yet they all want to be, you know. They don't know the hardships that we went through. Like right now on a reservation, how many of these people, these elderly people, have gravel roads to their yards? And they're digging gravel out of on our reservation, saying that they're getting gravel for the roads. I don't know which roads, but, you know, to me it's a con game. On our reservation. And the tribal council's letting them do it. And the people that are asking questions are threatened to be evicted from their lands if they protest.
Wow.
You know, that's what's happening back home, see? Our tribal council evicting their own people because they question what this gravel company is doing. And they don't like it because it's in their backyard.
Yeah.
That's what's happening today. That's all over. And the Indians that are over there in Hawaii or whatever should ask questions. How did you get this name? This is a Native American thing here, you know? It's not just our issue, it's their issue too. What if it was them? That's the question that they should ask. What if it was their tribe? Or where they come from?
Yep. You know, people are so confused. They're Indian 1 minute, and the next 5 minutes they're American.
Yep.
You know, or the next half an hour.
You know,
are the next 24 hours.
They stay Washichu until a little bit of money comes up. Then they'll jump on Indian side again. You know. Muzza Scott. Honestly, that's what it is. Muzza Scott.
Yep.
There's never consistency.
Well, that's why we're a bunch of broke mofos.
Yeah.
You know. And we're going to stay broke,
problem.
You know. You know.
Like that guy said, he's from Tama, Iowa, and he's made 37 kills, and he's got to be respected. All this, you know, come on, man, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
he
had
37
about,
kills in Vietnam, and he says he should get some water, you know.
Yeah.
And I was looking at him. I told him, I said, damn, if you're that badass, you shouldn't even drink water, period. You know, you should be tough enough to drink sand, you know.
Yeah.
You know, these people think they see. You see, the American got people brainwashed into wanting to be rewarded for serving them.
What do you call them, Tushy?
So
Rudy
Fuchs. If they draft you, if they draft you and take you in there and force you to go someplace, you know. That ain't you doing it on your own. But once you made it home alive, then you run around like this guy's over here, you know, running around with Vietnam hats on, blouse pants 50 years later, expecting, you know, the everybody to bow down to them, you know. How? You know, when that was over, that was over. It's like going to prison. When you get out, you start walking your way, you know? When you, you know, like us, we carry chanupa. That's the way we got to walk. You know?
Yeah.
We can't, I can't go back and start trying to be a ex-con, military veteran and all this, our American. You know, we're supposed, we carry that chanupa because Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull,
yep,
our grandfathers, our ancestors, they brought this way for thousands of years. And that's how we're supposed to live it, you know. We're not. We didn't wear an airborne patch, you know. We didn't have that 500 years ago. We didn't have a Vietnam Service Medal 500 years ago. We didn't have none of that stuff. Looking like a Green Beret, you know.
Yep.
But these Indians do that now, you know. They do it now. And I was looking at other cultures. They're the same way. You know what
They're
gets
all
me?
The same.
You know Floyd Mayweather? You know Floyd Mayweather is? I said Mayweather.
Yeah.
Mayweather.
Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
He wears a $17 million wristwatch.
Yep.
And then besides that watch, he's got $27 million worth of other watches.
Damn.
You know? They said he's got more jewelry than Elon Musk or what's his name?
Elon Musk.
Has, yeah. He spent more money on jewelry than Elon Musk spent on spaceships. You know, and you know, what about his people? Yeah, I heard he gets generous.
Yep.
He walks in a club and throws money to the women, to bars, to alcoholics. But what are his people in Flint, Michigan, and up there, in Michigan? You know?
Yep.
I mean, $17 million. What could you do for your people for $17 million? You know, sure, they said he earned it. He didn't earn it. Anybody could fight, you know?
Yeah.
Because he got so many victories. Shit, I might have went and whipped his ass in my younger day, you know? He just never ran across me, you know? But you see, these people spend millions. Get millions. What's her name? The other one, what's her name? That has Oprah Winfrey. All these people, they're different cultures, black people and stuff. You know, how are they helping their people? She gave $500 million to Africa, to a school in Africa. Well, that's cool, you know. But you see, this is our country, you know. And The Washitu brought them over. It's like those guys from Haiti said, you know, we didn't ask for this. You were slave trading, human trafficking ever since you showed up, the Washitu. You know?
Yeah.
Our people, their people should be helped. Look at all the money Saudi Arabia has. But you go right down there to Yemen and other countries over there, and they're poor people. Right there in Saudi Arabia, they beat beggars and stuff. And they walk around with millions from their oil. You know, these other cultures, you know, are wicked, you know, to their own kind. And our culture is wicked to our own kind. The only difference between us and them is our people ain't getting no money, you know. The Shakopee tribe, they get a lot of money, casinos. There's some tribes doing all right, but what do they do, you know? Are they helping us get the Black Hills back?
No. Nope.
The reason why none of them wants to help is they say it's not their business.
Yeah, yep.
You know?
But yet
so
they claim to be a Sioux tribe.
Yeah. But you see, that's that Lakota school district saying we are Lakota, and they're a bunch of Washichu.
Wow.
They exist because of our weakness, because of our traitorism to each other, you know, because the Washichu did a good job at divide and conquer, you know. They gave Red Cloud a house and had the rest of his people in old beat up teepees and army tents, you know.
Yep.
And you know, that's what they do. If they want to turn us against one another, they'll put one of us in a Cadillac, and they do that. I see Indians driving Cadillacs, those SUV Cadillacs, all the time on the res. And because they work for the BIA or tribal government or stuff like that. And earlier, Joshy, I was talking about in L.A., they have Hawthorne Boulevard, Whittier Boulevard, they have Colorado Boulevard, or what's that boulevard in Colorado everybody be cruising, you know? And
I knew which one you're talking about.
I shouldn't ask you. I need to ask a younger person, you know.
Colfax, Sheridan.
Colfax, there you go. Colfax.
Yeah.
And people drive up and down there in nice, they're customized cars, and they're all decked out, and they drive up and down these big boulevards in the cities, parking at the hamburger stands, at the restaurant, standing out there all decked out. I passed through my little town here. There's some beat-up cars out on the street Friday night, you know? Some beat-up Indians walking the street. That's all we got. We ain't got no customized cars. Passed by one car, duct tape. All the windows are duct taped up, you know? But they're still hanging out, you know?
There you go, man.
You know? I said, you know, our people, you know, Floyd Mayweather had $17 million. What if he gave our people $17 million? So, you know, throw that watch away. You don't need a watch that much. Hell, my watch costs $10 at Walmart, you know, it tells the time just like his, you know.
You know,
and having that nice watch and all that stuff don't help your face any. You're still ugly, you know.
You know, the thing about it is, Crunchy, even a broken watch, you know, is right two times a day. You know, what the hell? You know, why do you need to spend that kind of money on watches? You know, that's, you know, the guy's a fool. My clock tells time twice a day. What the hell? You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
I was tripping how people spend money.
Yeah, all those people in Detroit need water. The poorest people are all minorities, blacks, Hispanics. And he's making all that money, and yet his people can't even drink the water of Michigan. What do you think that $17 million would do for the water system over there? You know, that's something
he could have his own water plant, Floyd Mayweather water plant, and give people nice water and still have his name signing, you know. And same way with Oprah Winfrey. They could do things for the people, you know, for their own people.
Yeah.
You know,
what's that other dude's name? Cannon. Remember that guy, Nick Cannon, or whatever his name is? That guy's got. They're so damn rich. I mean, look at them. They don't even help their people out. You know.
You know.
That's
Elvis Presley Elvis Presley used to buy people cars in Memphis, in poor people, you know, and he used to donate to people, you know. He didn't help us out or nothing, you know, but you know, I mean, in your domain, in your society you live in, you should at least help them out, you know? You know? But me, I'm a res guy. If I ever won the Powerball, I always said I'm going to buy some land up and I'm going to move a bunch of Indians there, you know?
Yeah.
And let them throw Pampers all over the place. Yeah. I'm going to let them throw Pampers all over the place. So the land would, what do they call it when it gets cheap all of a sudden? Because if you move a bunch of Indians into the land, it depreciates the land wherever we move a bunch of Indians, you know, and there's Pampers flying all over, you know. I'll buy it. If I ever win Powerball, that's what I'll do. Yeah.
Pampers and plastic bags. When the land is dirt cheap, then I'll buy it all up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Build my own housing somewhere. You know?
Hey, Jennifer, you have any comments?
Yeah, but it's way off of the topic of what you guys are doing, except that one part where you said something like Indians are confused or Indian one minute and then, you know, they get assimilated or white the next. And I had to laugh at that one because I'm actually on my Facebook, so I'm multitasking. But I posted tonight about that dude that's has the Gathering of Nations powwow that's this weekend, and Kitty Frost a long time ago, a few years back, had written all these things about the person that's doing this, that Derek Matthew. I don't know if you guys are aware of him, but he listed himself as a church
yeah.
organization. So that means that, you know, he doesn't have to pay taxes. And this whole thing is sponsored by Wells Fargo, which is, you know, a big funder of the oil. It just goes on and on about all these silly little things that people are not aware of, or I don't know. This was posted in 2018. And I don't know. It just goes on. Kitty lays it out there of the disrespect that he did towards the Navajo code talkers and grabbing the whistles from the dancers, and something about their bustles too from a dancer. So he has absolutely no respect of what a powwow, the original spirituality of what a powwow is supposed to be. But I'm kind of venting with somebody because there's a lady that I used to go to ceremonies with here in Colorado, and she moved herself to New Mexico and got her degree as a lawyer. And you've always said, too, on this program about how, you know, they get into these careers of thinking they're going to do something for the people, but then they have to look like a shark to be with the sharks, you know? And it just kind of annoys me because she took a picture of the grand entry, and there is massive, massive people in that grand entry. And I'm just thinking, boy, do they not know, or what the heck is going on? And everybody's just flooding my news feed with all these photos and videos and acting like they're hotshots or doing something good and with Native pride, when all this time they're getting exploited. And this guy is just basically he's a non-Native is what's irritating with us, and he's making all this money and just putting it in his pocket. And her being a lawyer, you would think that there would be some concern of cultural appropriation or something, you know? But she's really fighting me on Facebook, and her opinions are just, she's saying that I have an opinion, and that, like, I'm the one with the attitude, and I'm just, like, going after her because we went to ceremonies together. And, you know, she's like, well, I got to spend time with my family. And I said, well, that's the only thing that's bringing your family together. You know, my family connects all year round going to ceremonies. That's how we do it all year round. You know, we go back and forth back to South Dakota. And, you know, it's like that's where we are. That's our meeting grounds. And but we hardly go to powwows. Well, anyway, this felt like venting out.
I'm glad you mentioned that. When you said she said family, when they start saying family, then you know they're gone. I'm with my family, you know.
That, yeah.
You know, they changed their what do you call it? Their accent to start sounding Washichu. You know, when the Indian starts doing that, say, damn,
yeah.
You know. You know,
well,
and,
if you want
and,
to change yourself, yeah, just go to my page.
You know, I mean, you know, like us, we have our own accent, you know.
You know,
yeah.
Country, me and my, I talked to my family about that gathering of nations. You know, how that church disrespects the shit out of Indians, but yet, that's one of his biggest fundraisers. And these Indians all show up year after year, regardless of what he says. And they support it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And what is that about? You know, and like I say, look at all the things he said about the Navajo people. But yet, they still go there. You know, and it's one of the biggest powwows. And he brags about that, how he uses these people. You know?
Yeah.
And nobody says, well, they mention it, but yet nobody does a damn thing about it. That's like Rapid City and L&I. Why not move L&I out of Rapid City? They just had a meeting about some powwow or something, and they're going to keep it there even though that discrimination that happened at that hotel, they changed the owners. Now that owner, there's a new owner. Remember I told you about this. They're just going to change the person, and they're going to continue discriminating. Well, that's what's happening right now. But yet these Indians that could make a difference and hurt those people in Rapid City don't want to do it. They still want to suck eggs to these Washichus that are in Rapid City. They still want that business there. See? And so on one hand, we're our greatest enemy when you really look at it. And the same way with that... you know, it's just the things he says about Native Americans, but yet that's one of the biggest money makers for him. Same thing in Rapid City. They don't want to move it out of Rapid City. Why? Those are the biggest money makers Rapid City has is Indian functions. But yet the Indians are so caught up with these Washichus, they still love these Washichus after they discriminate. No Indians allowed. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the same thing here at that Gathering of Nations. Same damn thing. I questioned one of my sister-in-laws because she went, so I questioned her about it. But, you know, that church dude running down the Indians, making all these derogatory remarks, they still go there.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh.
And you know,
yeah.
They're Americanized. They'll still contribute to the guy that's slapping them around, in other words, you know. He slaps them around, says, I didn't need it, so they go back to it, you know. Stockholm syndrome. There you go, Tanshi, right there.
Yeah, Stockholm syndrome. Yep, that's what I'm talking about, you know.
Yep.
You know, our people are lost. You know, that's what I like it when you hear these, you know, real Lakotas, we got our own accent. You know, we don't say ugly, we say ugly. You know, we don't say ugly, we say eely ugly. You know,
ugly.
You know, we got
ugly.
Our
it's
own
really
accent.
Ugly.
You know? Yeah, really ugly, you know. And that lady said, yeah, my Takosha, he's in Japan. He went to Japan, you know. And the Sydney girl, we're going to go do a gig in Europe. And she said, I'm not letting my my man go with you to Berlin. She didn't, you know, the cat's all wheezy, didn't want her old man come with me, you know. But, you know, we have our own accent, you know. It's funny, but the, you know, and outside,
you know, that
when you hear
that's what,
when
that's,
our people start,
that's what you call
trying to live
dialect.
What's that?
That's what you call bone marrow dialect.
Oh, bone marrow dialect. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think, Layla?
Well, I have a story to tell. Remember you were talking about Richie Havens?
Yeah.
Last week. Well, I saw Richie Havens, it was probably like 1963, and he was more or less a bum on the street. I moved to Greenwich Village, and I'd go down McDougal Street in the afternoon, check out the scene, and he'd be sitting on a stoop, you know what that is, you know, steps, and wailing on his guitar, and he wailed so hard on his guitar that he had already beat a hole in it. It didn't have a pickguard. So he'd already beat a hole in it. Nobody paid any attention to him. He had a beat-up old hat sitting right beside him. Nobody threw him any money. Nobody listened. He's, you know, singing his heart out. Then about a year later, I went up to Klein's on 14th Street. And so this is, like, not a great neighborhood. And I passed by this storefront. And here's Richie Havens in there, and he's starting to set up his guitar, and there's a beat-up old hat, and the area is so that there's, like, newspapers rolling down the sidewalks, you know, it's, like, desolate. So he's doing that. And then fast forward to 1967, and I'm living in San Francisco, and I had some roommates. We loved to stay up all night. So one night I said, oh, let's drive over the Bay Bridge. Let's see the sun come up. Let's go to Berkeley. So we drove over to Berkeley, went in this, schoolyard, kind of like a playground area. And here comes Richie Havens. He's got, like, three or four black guys with him. They're carrying big conga drums. They're, like, on a mission. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. It's hardly daylight. They're, you know, barreling across this basketball court. They're going somewhere. And then here comes 1969, Woodstock. Richie Havens opens up the thing. Then I see him, like, in the 90s, maybe like 1992. Now he's this enormous rock star, and they had an outdoor concert in Orlando, downtown Orlando. He's got on white clothes like he's a holy man. And, oh, Wombly, he was so dynamic. He was so spiritual. He was just, I mean, and everyone's craving, you know, and he sold hundreds or thousands of albums. He's been all over the world. So I wanted to tell you that story because he started at the way under the bottom, not even the bottom.
Well, you see, you mentioned that, and I remember when I talked to him, it was a total accident, you know, because his manager was his wife, and she had ELO Entertainment, ELO, right? Our ELO management. It was ELO. And I thought it was Electric Light Orchestra. So I was seeing if I could get lucky and pull Electric Light Orchestra for a gig, you know? And here she said, no. She said, I manage Richie Havens. And I said, oh, Richie Havens. I said, you know, he can come to the concert too if he wants. He said, well, I'll let you ask him. He's right here. And she put him on the phone with me. Just like
I said,
wow, man. I said, hey, you know, where's this bunch of Indians down here in Lakota doing a concert on the res? And if you want to come help out, you know, we're just trying to raise money for kids and stuff. He said, when and what time I'll be there. He said, can you have someone pick me up? And that's what he did. He showed up on his own time, his own money, and came to our rest and ate our commands. And yeah, of course, we got him a motel room, you know, and all that, and helped him out, you know. But we owed him that. You know, it's an honor because he, you know, that's Richie Havens, you know, one of the Woodstock guys. But you see, he's a humble guy, and there's people like that. He didn't care about money. But here's Buffy St. Marie trying to charge us $18,000.
Jack, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's why I got into it with Buffy St. Marie, you know. She was she even brought some muscle men over to bully us. We were almost... they almost got carried off the res, those guys, you know, barefooted, you know.
Yeah. So I went on Wikipedia today so I could, you know, just like kind of see, get more information about him. His father was a Blackfoot Indian and was in the Buffalo Bill Wild West show, and also Richie supported The Longest Walk. You know, from Alcatraz to Washington, D.C. So he was cool,
You know, we sent, we raised money and we gave Chuck Berry $5,000. But you know what Chuck Berry did? He gave it right back.
Oh, he's
As soon
beautiful.
As the gig was over, he gave it right back.
Oh,
you know,
beautiful.
You see... And he said, yeah, I'm part Indian. Chuck Berry said he was part Indian. You know, we always hear people say that, you know. But you see, these guys, people like that, they honored us without, you know, because they knew we were just, like I said, a bunch of Indians trying to throw down. That was it, you know. And they didn't want them. But you see, our people, we try to get Indian bands to show up, and they want money. A band called Clandestine in Arizona, we charge $2,000, you know. You know, a lot of these Indian bands, they didn't want to come support us, you know. But us, when people ask us to go, we show up. Look at me and Donnie drove all the way to Florida, you know. You see, we don't care. It ain't about the money. It's about serving the cause or helping out. And our people and talking about trying to support something like this Dakota thing, you know.
I don't know if you ever knew it, but remember when we did a concert at my church? We raised over $600 for the homeless that day.
Well, that's pretty good. But we're getting short on time here. I just wanted to mention this one more time, you know, and for people to know, even like Philip and us, you know, talking about our initial deal, the Lakota school district, you know, and their motto is, as we are Lakota.
Right.
You know, and like we talked to Philip, you know, these people, you know, Guy, Lance, or hell, there's a lot of people. Look at Rachel Thunders all there flashing around, you know, all these people. You know, we don't need to ask them. We don't need to invite nobody. But if they hear stuff like this, it should be automatic. Don't act like they didn't hear it. Don't act like they don't know it. You know, if you didn't hear it, you're going to hear it now. You're going to see it. It's going to pass by you. And what are you going to do when it passes by you? You know, and I ain't asking none of these people. You know, I'm just saying we have an issue. And I hope that, you know, I would like to see our people, regardless whether they're Lakota, Apache, or what, you know, if the Apache wanted to get rid of the Apache helicopter, I'll there support them. You know, There's another tribe having an issue, I'll support them. I ain't going to say, well, I'm not Apache. I'm not Navajo.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to support you. But, you know, you got to want to fight yourself. Well, I'm ready to fight this issue, you know. But who helps out when we do this stuff? It's like I said, one time I was in the hole, and they said, we don't need to eat this food. Just throw your food out in the freeway, and they'll have to give us something better. So we're locked in our cells. They fed us up. They said, all right, one, two, three. So I threw my tray out in the freeway out there so I don't eat it. And my tray was the only one hit the freeway. The freeway is what they call it, in front of the cell block where you exercise because we're in the hole, you know.
Yeah.
One, two, three, okay, boom. I threw my tray, and only one tray bounced off the cement. It was mine. Next thing, I had about 10 cops in front of my door. Next thing, they was giving me a Snuggie with my arms way up my back, back of my neck, and hauling my ass out of there to the box car, they call it. That's the hole behind the hole. You know, and when I passed by, I looked in the cells, and all these guys were eating. All these instigators, all these provokers. So I learned, you know, I just do stuff on my own. And if someone wants to jump in on it, that's cool. But if I see with my own eyes you're trying to fight some injustice, I'm behind you. And you can come on this radio show and fight, tell your issue, your fight for injustice. I don't care if you're white, black, what culture you are. If you're getting abused and treated bad, you know, we give you support in the name of humanity, you know. I don't have to be Apache. I don't need to be white. I don't need to be black. But you know what? I support all these issues around the world, hunger and all that, you know? But I don't just jump in anybody's bandwagon, you know, like everybody right now. Oh, we're fighting for Ukraine, you know? I see some music artists starting to jump in and fight for you. First of all, know what those people are you were defending. You know, they're just another bunch of criminals, and you're defending them. You know, they're human rights violators, you know. But there's only one side of the story. And then the American says, yeah, if the Russians use nukes, they're signing their own death warrant. If they use a nuke, it's your death warrant. You know, that's how arrogant the Washichu is. They don't realize what they're getting into. And there's a guy named Bob Woodard or something. He said, you know, it just takes a stupid man to start a stupid president to start a nuke war. And we have to stop that. They're talking about Biden. See, they said Trump wanted to nuke China when he was in. Can you imagine that they would have tried to nuke China?
No.
Man, half this country would be talking Chinese right now, you know? You know? The Americans think they're so damn powerful and so damn godly that nothing can happen to them.
Yeah.
But you know what? If it comes down to nukes, everybody's going down. American, you know, it don't take nothing for a nuke to hit a big city in America just as good as it could hit in Russia, as good as it can hit in Ukraine, as good as it, same way. A nuke can fly into London and blow them to hell. A nuke can fly into Berlin and blow them to hell. They don't even think. These people are warmongers. They're stupid. And they're the ones
provoking, and like Russia said, you know, all you're doing is inflaming the fire. You know, that's what they're doing. You know, they're up there in place. You know,
speaking of this nuke, why did America say Russia could use nukes if they did away with the USSR? Because they would do away with NATO. Why did they do that? They promised Russia could use nukes. See, how forgetful are these? And that's what Russia, he talked about that. Every 4 years, somebody gets in office and they lie all over again. Well, that's what he meant.
Yep.
See?
Yep. Every four years.
Yeah. Don't promise something that you can't keep, and now you're fighting against it. Why did you tell them that if you knew you weren't going to do what you said you was going to do? You were supposed to do it with NATO. That's why the USSR got abolished. Because they promised Russia they could use nukes.
I was talking about Floyd Mayweather wearing a $27 million or a $17 million watch. But you know, the U.S. gave Ukraine $300 million about a couple months ago, and they just sent $800 million in military stuff to them. That's more than $1 billion. And you know, here's people over here in this country starving. You know, there's people
struggling
over
to
here
pay the rent.
Yeah.
Struggling to pay rent,
and they're, you know, they're over there provoking, inflaming, and helping a country just for their benefit so they can sell military equipment, you know. So they can, you know, gun sales and all that. It's a business. That's why they're doing that. $800 million, you know, to a country that don't give a crap about nobody else. They're crying around over there. That leader, he's a millionaire, you know. How'd he become a millionaire in a poor country? Why is he crying around so much? Because he's a millionaire. He don't want to lose his million. He don't want nobody taking it. It's all about him. It ain't about his people. They're killing people right now over there because he don't want to stop. Because and Biden don't want to stop. And all these countries supporting them don't want to stop. So they're killing people over there. Whose fault is that? You know. They're bragging about killing 20 million or 20,000 Russians right now. They're bragging about it. When they brag about killing Russians, it's bragging. But if you kill 20,000 somebody else, oh, that's war crimes. You know? You see how they are?
Yep.
You know, but the U.S., this country right here on our land, standing here starting trouble on our land, on Indian land, over here, is taking money they made off of our land and giving it to war someplace else. You know,
Tranchi,
anyway.
You know, Tranchi, how about $800 million in food stamps to that country? That'd help them, you know?
$800 million for peace would have solved the whole problem. You know,
heck yeah.
And then how was joining NATO. But anyway, we're running out of time, and I thank Jennifer, Philip, Layla, and Tanshi. You have to, you could take us a prayer right now on And I thank you all for being here, and all our listeners, supporters, and my bro David out there, and John, the East Coast,
and all our supporters, and thank you for tuning in with that. Doksha ke.
Doksha.
And have a good...
train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. Through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.